Thank you very much. I'm happy for several reasons to present our star of Hold That Memory. In the first place, he's a fine actor, and prior to World War II, had established himself as one of Hollywood's better young leading men. Came the war, and he was one of the very first to give up motion pictures for what he felt was a bigger and more important job. After 3.5 years in the Navy, during which time he rose from apprentice seaman to lieutenant, he returned to Hollywood, picked up his career, and has starred in a number of very fine motion pictures. So we are very happy indeed to present John Howard. Now, John, I'm looking forward to a very exciting half hour.
And so am I, Les. I think the script of Hold That Memory is very funny, and I know I'm going to enjoy playing it.
Well, I think we owe Celie Glester and Marvin Gerard a vote of thanks for this story. Now, before I let you go, John, I want you to promise to come back after the show and tell the audience something about your very interesting hobby.
Well, if they'll sit still for it, I'll be glad to tell them.
I'm sure they will. We'll see you right after the play.
Right now, here is our announcer. And here is the play. Under a warm June sun, the campus stirs indolently. Out of the circle of buildings that frame the campus, groups of students begin to emerge. Final exams are over, but in the classroom for advanced psychology, a young woman remains seated. She gets to her feet and approaches her professor, Professor Stephen Halliday, M.A., Ph.D., L.I.B. Young Stephen Halliday, youngest professor on the State University campus. Head of the psychology department at the age of 31. Tall, athletically built, with blue eyes and light hair, he's just what you might expect a young woman to remain behind for, except, and alas, he has one failing.
No, Miss Palmer.
But, Professor, you promised.
I did? I do not recall any such promise.
Well, you told some of the other girls.
Miss Palmer, I am very busy. A train leaves the junction at precisely 13 minutes past 2, and I intend to catch that train.
But can't you tell me anything about myself? The girls?
Oh, very well. To begin with, you are attractively dressed, as always.
You do interest me, Professor.
That is your fundamental fault.
What is?
Your interest in men.
Yes, that is my trouble.
Trouble? You won't have any trouble with men, Miss Palmer. They'll have trouble with you.
Why, Professor?
And this in spite of the fact that you never have the seams of your stocking straight.
Professor, I never thought you noticed.
Furthermore, you have developed a psychosis about men. You are constantly aware of them. You pose in theatrical attitudes for their benefit.
But...
And while I never have conversed with you privately before, let me refute some of the pet theories which I am sure you have.
Yes, Professor. Yes?
The world does not revolve around the attraction of a man for a woman.
It doesn't, Professor?
Also, the main purpose of a young woman attending coeducational schools is not that of finding a husband.
It isn't, Professor.
And I think you will find it more profitable to study the Greeks than to wear their alphabet in the forms of various fraternity pins.
Professor Halliday? What else? Go on.
That's all. I have already squandered 1 minute and 47 seconds, precious time which I am convinced has benefited neither of us. Now you can do one favor for me, Miss Palmer?
Of course, anything.
You can learn not to flutter your eyelashes.
But, Professor Halliday,
close your mouth, Miss Palmer. Oil inhalation is neither healthy nor attractive.
Professor Stephen Halliday was well on his way to Chicago as dawn was just about to waken a sleeping world the following morning. Unable to sleep any longer, the good professor made his way to the rear observation platform, leaned over the railing, watched the rails merge in the far distance, felt the rush of wheels under him.
Can't sleep, huh?
Hmm? Oh, I didn't see you there in the corner.
Yeah, I can't sleep either. Wheels.
Wheels? Well, wheels bother you?
Terrible. They go round and round. And that's what I can't stand. Wheels that go round in circles.
Oh.
You see Eustace in there? Doesn't bother him. He's sleeping.
Eustace?
Hell, I call him Eustace. I don't know what his name really is. He's taking me to Groton's. But you don't know what Groton's is.
In the general tenor of this conversation, I would guess that it's a mental institution.
Yeah, how'd you know? They think I'm a mental case.
They do?
Yeah. They say I have flashes of mental instability.
Oh, I see. Just them flashes.
Yeah. Groton's is a new place for me. I've never been there before.
Oh, are you coming from another institution?
I left there yesterday.
Oh, why?
Complications. Nurses and stuff.
What do you mean?
It happens to me wherever I go. It's something to do with my libido.
The nurses were all in love with me.
Ah, I understand, I think.
What are they doing?
They're trying to stop the train.
Better hold on, mister.
I can't. I'm slipping.
Help me. I'm falling. Oh, nothing. You fall. Hey.
It's out cold. I wonder if he'd mind if I...
Lying next to the tracks.
Yep, that's him, all right. Okay, Mr. Toto, wake up. You're not really hurt. Just a bump on the head. Come on, wake up.
What?
Give me a hand, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, stand up, Mr. Theodore.
Theodore? Well, who are you?
We're from Groton's. Good thing you didn't wake up and wander off before we got here.
What are you talking about?
Just relax, Mr. Theodore. We'll drive you the rest of the way.
I don't understand. Why are you addressing me as Mr. Theodore?
You're Mr. Theodore, ain't you?
No, certainly not.
You're not? Got any identification?
Well, certainly. Right here, this billfold. Oh.
Yes, Mr. Theodore.
Why, this isn't my billfold, and... Oh, these clothes, where did I get them?
Picture, don't they?
Well, yes, but...
And this driver's license. You sure have identification, Mr. Theodore.
Now, just a moment.
We ain't got the time. Come on. We ain't got the time. Come on.
I tell you, I'm Stephen Halliday, professor of psychology at State University.
Dr. Bainbridge. Oh, doctor, Mr. Theodore's arrived.
Good. Oh, nurse.
Yes, doctor.
You're an extremely attractive young woman, nurse.
I beg your pardon.
I mean, this Theodore.
Yes, doctor.
It seems he possesses a very strong, attractive personality.
I know how to handle that type, doctor.
He's rather insistent.
Aren't all men?
Well, I thought I'd warn you.
Thank you, doctor.
Oh, well, then, you may bring him in now.
Mr. Theodore.
I would like to make it clear that my name is not Theodore.
This is Dr. Bainbridge.
Your slip is showing.
My what?
An untidy habit.
Sit down, Mr. Theodore. Nurse, will you prepare Mr. Theodore's room?
Yes, doctor.
Dr. Bainbridge, my name is Stephen Halliday. I'm a professor of advanced psychology at State University.
Certainly, Professor. Of course you have proper identification to prove it.
No, I do not. This Theodore of yours obviously exchanged clothes with me while I was lying unconscious beside the train tracks.
Naturally.
You are very irritating, Dr. Bainbridge. There are any number of ways to verify what I say.
I'm sure there are.
Don't humor me.
I have a complete file on you, Mr. Theodore. Your physical characteristics, your general appearance. You are also wearing the clothes and carrying the identification of the man who left Harding. The possibility of error is very slight.
My first impression was wrong.
Hmm?
You are not intelligent. You are didactic and opinionated. You can clear this up immediately. Get in touch with State University and you can find out when Stephen Halliday left the campus and what his destination was.
I'll do that.
One other thing. There's a meeting at the home of Professor Stone in Chicago. I am even now supposed to be his house guest.
Professor Elias Stone, you know him?
Oh, by reputation only, as he knows me.
You're quite clever, Mr. Theodore.
I warn you, Doctor, that if you do not make every effort to clear up this situation, I shall hold you put this situation. I shall hold you put this situation. I shall hold you personally responsible in a court of law.
I'm sure you'll be very happy here.
And I'm equally sure that you're the most obstinate person I have ever met.
All right, Mr. Theodore, I promise to investigate along the lines you suggest.
Good. Oh, just one more thing. Dr. Bainbridge, although you may not be too old to be thinking of taking our very attractive nurse to a nightclub, you are certainly too old to be thinking of her romantically. Elementary. And I will concede that there is something elusive and attractive about her. But now I will leave you. You know, if I had more time, I would enjoy spending a few days here. It certainly is a concentration camp of interesting mentality.
No, just a moment.
Oh, yes, I meant to ask. What is my nurse's name?
Eloise. But you will address her as nurse.
Eloise. A beautiful name. Oh, is my room prepared? I see you've fixed your slip.
Yes, I mean, yes, the room is prepared.
There's a smudge.
The room is prepared.
There's a smudge.
The room is prepared.
There's a smudge on the tip of your nose.
Oh.
Nurse, when you're finished with Mr. Theodore, I'd like to speak to you.
All right, doctor.
Operator, get me Dean Atkinson, State University. Hello, this is Dr. Bainbridge speaking. Yes, is this Dean Atkinson? Sorry to disturb you, sir, but this is in the nature of a checkup. Yes, we have a patient at Groton's who insists his name is Stephen Halliday. There is a Professor Halliday on the campus. Oh, he left yesterday, did he? Where? Professor Elias Stone? Thank you, Dean. Operator, I want Professor Elias Stone, Chicago. I don't know the address. Thank you. Hello, Professor Stone? This is Dr. Hector... this is Dr. Hector... this is Dr. Hector Bainbridge of Groton's. We're checking up on a story, Professor. I wondered if Professor Halliday arrived at your home yet. Oh, no, I don't want to speak to him. He's there, is he? Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
And the curtain falls on Act One of the Movietown Radio Theater's presentation of Hold That Memory, starring Mr. John Howard. And now, while we set the stage for Act Two, here is our announcer. It is late afternoon. Stephen has temporarily resigned himself to the position in which he finds himself, and he's made good use of the time. What finer opportunity to study psychology than at Groton's? What better material?
Come in. Ah, Eloise.
Mr. Theodore, I...
Oh, my name is not Theodore, despite that idiot downstairs.
Which idiot?
Which? Oh, I mean Bainbridge.
Well, let's not discuss Dr. Bainbridge. I want to do a little checking myself.
You don't believe I'm Stephen Halliday?
Well, I... That's what I brought these books for.
Oh.
Now, let's see. Yes. What is the essential factor in Flugel's conception of the inferiority complex?
The libido.
Well, that's right. Now, Flugel made some experiments when he was still in Vienna. What?
Mass indoctrination principles and the effect on the rational mind.
Yes.
But he was wrong. Dr. Irving Fernelli devotes a full chapter to the experiments in his book. Absolutely proves that Flugel's experiments were made under extraordinary conditions and...
That's enough.
You're convinced that I know what I'm talking about?
Well, it does seem...
Look at me.
Yes.
Do I look crazy?
No.
The trouble with you is you listen to the idiot vaporings of that child mentality downstairs. I don't like him.
Why, Dr. Bainbridge is...
Don't defend him. Have you noticed his twitch?
What kind of twitch?
An amorous twitch on the right side of his face. I notice it whenever he looks at you.
Oh.
Men have different reactions to women, you know. They will be nervous. Their scalps will itch. They may display their condition by blushing.
And you?
Me? Oh, well, it's been my experience that, so far at least, I have no definite reactions to members of the opposite sex.
Your records tell a different story.
Well, that's another point which should help prove that they are not my records and that I am not Mr. Theodore.
Perhaps. Your hands. Why are you rubbing them on your trousers?
Eh? Oh, am I?
Now, let me see. Perspiration on your hands. You must be nervous.
Nervous? What am I to be nervous about?
Perhaps small rooms make you uneasy.
Oh, no. I do not suffer from claustrophobia.
Well, something must be upsetting you.
No.
It, couldn't be me, could it?
Oh, impossible. You know, I do feel rather strange at the moment, and I...
Yes?
You upset me. A certain delicate balance in me seems to be out of kilter.
Maybe that accounts for your nervousness.
Well, I'll have to think it over. Will you do me a favor, Eloise?
What?
If you believe in me at all, will you go down to Bainbridge and make sure he finds out the truth? Get him to make some further investigations.
All right.
You do believe me?
Well, I'll speak with Dr. Bainbridge.
Thank you, Eloise. And be careful of him.
And that's why I'll stand for no more trouble from Theodore.
Where is he?
In his room.
They must have got into a conversation on the train. Professor Halliday must have said something about going to Professor Elias Stowe.
But he does seem rational, though. I asked him some questions from a psychology book, and he answered as though he knew what he was talking about.
He's clever, very clever. Probably studied up.
And I was so sure.
Appearances can be very deceiving, my dear.
Uh-oh.
My dear, I've been wanting to ask...
Well, Doctor, I've got some things to attend to.
Just a moment, Eloise. You must have noticed that I've been struck by your loveliness.
Not yet, but...
I was going to ask you to have...
He does have a twitch.
What's that, my dear?
Please, Doctor, please.
You're very lovely, child.
Dr. Bainbridge, please.
Now, don't turn away from me, my dear. You know, I can do a great deal for someone like
yes,
you.
I'm sure you can, but not me.
No more than I expected.
Mr. Theodore.
And I might add, no less than I expected also. I believe I warned you, Eloise. Well, don't stand there glaring at me, Bainbridge. Unhand her.
I've heard just about enough from you, Theodore. I went to the trouble and expense of phoning the State University and also Professor Stone.
And?
You are as unmitigated a scoundrel as I have ever come across. Your whole story is a tissue of lies.
Eloise.
Well, he did phone.
But I can't understand. Oh.
Yes. Yes?
This Theodore of yours must have assumed my identity, even went so far as to introduce himself to Professor Stone as me.
That's enough. I am in charge of Croton. I am in charge of your well-being, distasteful as the task may be, and I warn you, I will tolerate no more nonsense.
In all my long experience, I have never come across anyone, and I state this with full regard for some of the students I have had to suffer, anyone, I say, with less intelligence.
Take him away.
Calm down, Bainbridge, calm down. Don't you know one of the cardinal principles of a man in your position should be to retain control of himself in any situation?
I...
Sit down, Eloise. And I'll sit down, too.
Don't you dare sit down!
Oh, be quiet. Bainbridge, can that midget mentality of yours adjust itself to one single thought?
I'll put you in solitary.
Because of it can. Let me tax its capacity with this statement. I demand to be released. I am rapidly reaching the end of my patience with you. And in the event that you don't come to your senses immediately, I will call you before the medical authorities of this state and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt your mental delinquency.
Oh, you!
It's getting violent, Eloise, perhaps.
Get out of here. Get away. Nurse, get rid of him. Throw him off the property. I don't want to see him again.
But, Doctor, you can't.
Huh?
He's committed here, Dr. Bainbridge. You can't send him away.
Well, get him on committee.
But he needs special attention, special care. He...
Eloise, do you realize what you're saying?
Well, yes, I said... Well, I...
You want me to stay. And if I'm any judge of human nature, you want me to stay for purely personal reasons.
You wanted to get out, didn't you? You claim you're Stephen Halliday, don't you? Well, go on. Get out! Get out!
I'm staying.
What?
I'm staying.
You're not staying here.
You are the most inconsistent man I have ever known.
I'm inconsistent. How do you write that? You claim you're Halliday, don't you?
Theodore's the name. I'm Halliday most of the time, but right now...
Shh.
What is it?
Wheels. Do you hear them? I can't stand wheels. They go round and round. I can't stand wheels that go round.
Oh.
But I've been working on an invention. Square wheels. There's only one thing wrong.
Wrong?
It makes a bumpy ride.
I don't know. Maybe I should be a patient here. Maybe I've been here too long. I seem to be losing my grip.
Eloise?
Yes?
Come. I want to talk to you in my room. Oh, attendant, you better take care of Dr. Bainbridge. He's getting violent. Come in, Eloise. Close the door.
Oh, no.
What? Why not?
Well, remember, I know your case history.
Oh, nonsense. I'm not Theodore. That wheels business was for Bainbridge's benefit.
But I...
It's very strange. But I don't seem to want to leave here now. Have you any idea what has caused this abrupt reversal? I can't seem to construct the cause and effect pattern. You confuse me. I have an odd feeling in my chest. Almost like a little pain.
I feel rather strange myself.
The way you walk, so familiar to me. The way you smile, as you're smiling right now. as if it's just for me. I have a strange yearning.
Oh, if only...
Your lips have an irresistible appeal. You have fostered a new emotion. A completely new emotion.
I think I know.
Eloise? I've never done that before.
There's nothing wrong with you. What is your name?
Halliday.
Again?
Halliday.
No, I mean... I think that's what I mean.
Eloise?
Yes?
You have opened new vistas for me. Suddenly I feel that all my life has been barren and empty. Eloise?
Yes, sir.
I believe it all ties in with the endocrine gland.
What does, Stephen?
This feeling.
Yes, Stephen.
Oh, we're going to be interrupted.
What are you two doing?
Bainbridge, what do you want?
I want you out of here, Professor Halliday.
I told you my name is Theodore. I'm staying here just as long as... Who's that?
Hiya, Professor.
Who is this man?
Why, you know me, chum. I'm Theodore.
Glad to meet you. So am I.
No, you don't. You're Stephen Halliday.
Prove it.
But, darling, why do you want to stay here?
Why? Because you're here.
Personally, I don't blame him. Are you coming around here, sister? I'm going
to
like it.
No, you're not. You can't even get in. You can go on back to Professor Stone.
Stone? I can't stand that guy. He's nuts.
There, you see.
Darling, we can both leave.
What? Why, yes, of course.
No.
What do you mean, no? She resigned.
Well, I...
I know all about you, Bainbridge. You are what the teenagers refer to as a wolf. Eloise?
Yes, dear.
Let's go.
But where, darling?
What, to get married. I believe that's customary with people in love.
Stephen.
Yes, dear.
Let's hurry.
Yes, dear.
And I think you'd better get your own clothes back.
Yes, dear.
Wow, she sure got you in the groove in a hurry.
Huh? Groove?
Yes, dear. No, dear. Yes, dear. They all do it to you sooner or later.
Ah, that's why you're here, Theodore, isn't it?
Right, Professor.
And you're really not unbalanced at all.
That's right, Professor.
Well, how about the wheels?
Just a gag, Professor.
Aren't you going to extremes to escape your wife, Theodore?
Oh, I don't think so. Say, how did you know?
Oh, it's a simple matter to deduce these things if you know what to look for.
Well, I've been married to her for 15 years, but I want to spend the rest of my life in peace. In peaceful surroundings with quiet people. If I hadn't come to a place like this, you would have driven me to it eventually. Women are just naturally bossy.
Oh, not if you handle your relationship intelligently. It is incumbent upon the male to approach the problem with the proper perspective.
Stephen.
You see, Theodore, if the man asserts himself at the outset, if he establishes the delicate balance of his own superiority and never allows the woman to...
Stephen.
If the male is firmly and consistently self-assertive in all things, then there is not the slightest doubt but what he will dominate his marital life. Do I make myself clear, Mr. Theodore?
Stephen.
Yes, dear? Coming, dear.
And the curtain falls on the second and final act of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of Hold That Memory, starring John Howard, who will return in just a moment. And here's our star, John Howard, to take a well-deserved curtain call.
Thank you very much, Les. And a corny cliche, the pleasure was all mine.
From what you told me a little while ago, I would say cliches are not the only thing you can coin, John. I'm referring, of course, to your hobby, carpentry. How did you ever happen to get started on it?
Well, I bought a set of power tools from my father, and I got so intrigued with them, the first thing I knew, I had a hobby.
And just how do you pursue it, John?
Well, oddly enough, Les, pursue is exactly the right word. Right now, I'm making copies of early American originals. So I chase around to the homes of my wealthy friends and anywhere else I can find originals. I make a drawing of an article I like and then build it in my workshop.
Well, I suppose that's a natural gift. You know, I can't do anything with my hands other than hold a knife and fork.
Well, no, Les, you're wrong. As a matter of fact, the only course I ever flunked in school was manual training.
The commentary, I'm sorry to say, I've heard too many times. I know that I had dramatic literature made almost distasteful for me by a teacher who lacked imagination. However, now you like carpentry and I like good actors, and especially one John Howard who did such a nice job for us just now. Come and see us again, John.
We'll make a date soon, Les. Thanks again, and thanks to our fine cast. And for now, goodbye.
Goodbye, John Howard. In our cast, you heard John Howard, supported by an all-star group, Lorene Tuttle was Louise. Herbert Butterfield was Dr. Brainbridge. Barbara Fuller, Miss Palm. Hold That Memory was written by Seeley Glester and Mervyn Gerard. The musical score was composed and conducted by Del Castillo. Produced and directed by yours truly, Les Mitchell, who directs and also acts as your host. It's been a real pleasure presenting our little comedy. We hope that you'll be with us each week and every week. And here's such stars as Gail Storm, Bobby Driscoll, Dan Duryea, Margot, Jane Wyatt, and many other fine actors in great stories selected especially for their talent and for your pleasure.